Our Food Time show this week is sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant, and I thought it would be a good time to talk about food trends in the past year and things we can look forward to in the new year. Joining us on the phone line is Marissa Conrad, who is the food and dining editor for your Chicago Tribune. And how nice to have you joining us today, Marissa. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm going to try to keep track of what's what on the program here today. So as we look back on 2016, can we say that there were certain food trends? Can we say that 2016 will be remembered as the year of what when it comes to Chicago dining?
So we took a pretty bold statement on it this year, and we think that 2016 is actually one of the best dining years that Chicago has ever seen. Just with the sheer number of restaurant openings that happened and the sheer quality of all of those restaurants, it just felt like every couple of weeks a new big, hot, delicious restaurant was opening, and it just never stopped. It was pretty incredible.
What were some of the headlines of those openings?
So the West Loop exploded even more this year. That area has been growing for quite a few years, but it felt like a lot of the growth continued to be there. We had Rick Bayless. He opened his taqueria and brewery called Cruz Blanca. So it's very cool. It's Oaxacan-style tacos. One of my coworkers who has been down to the taco stalls in Oaxaca, Mexico, says it's the closest that he has come to finding that in the States. Mm-hmm. You go in, you order, they give you the tacos on a tray, and you get to assemble yourself. So you get the warm handmade tortillas and the meat and the sauces, and you pile it all on yourself. And then there's a brewery attached, so you can order beers that are designed to pair with those tacos, which is amazing.
What are some of your other notables for 2016?
Yeah, definitely. So in that area as well, you had Stephanie Izard with her Chinese restaurant, Duck Duck Goat, which has been impossible to get into from opening to now. You try to get a reservation there and booked. But they do take walk-ins, so that's always a fun way to get in. You had, other than not in that area, obviously restaurants are opening all over. One of the ones I really loved was Dixie. So I don't know if you've ever been to Lily's Q, that barbecue spot in Wicker Park, but that chef, opened a few doors, a few blocks down, and it's a Southern food restaurant, yeah. And the biscuits are amazing. It's awesome.
Is Girl and the Goat still the hardest restaurant to get into in Chicago?
I think Duck Duck Goat has taken that.
Duck Duck Goat beats a Girl and a Goat.
Yeah.
Must be.
And then she also has Little Goat.
And the Little Goat. Who would have known that a goat outside of the Chicago Cubs with the damn curse that's finally gone would now be influential in the dining scene in Chicago?
Maybe the two are related. Maybe we can thank Stephanie.
Yeah. What are we looking forward to in 2017?
We are looking forward to a lot. One of the things I'm personally looking forward to is another big food hall opening in the Loop. So
you mean like Italy or the Latin version of it that's over on Block 37?
Right. And then Revival Food Hall opened in 2016 as well, which was another one of those big, food court, but it's not your Taco Bells and your McDonald's. It's local restaurants that you get more excited to eat at.
Yeah.
So a new one is opening in the summer 2017 called Wells Street Market. And they're going to be at the corner of Wacker and Wells, 10,000 square feet of restaurants, a lot of them local. They haven't come out with any names yet, but I have a good feeling about it.
Can we say that this is a trend of 2017, these big food halls?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I think restaurateurs are really realizing that the Loop has been an untapped market for them. There's all those people who want lunch, and they're kind of sick of the same old chain restaurants. So it's neat to get, a bunch of small food stands in one space. They can share the operating costs a little bit and, bring something new to all those hungry people in the Loop who just want to escape the office for a little bit.
Okay. Aside from the big food hall, what else is coming in 2017?
So Trencherman, which was a very popular restaurant in Wicker Park, closed at the end of the year. Unfortunately, the chef had to close it for some personal reasons, and everyone was kind of sad to see it go. But the good news is that it's been taken over by a new chef, and it is the chef who does the publican. I'm so sorry. I misspoke completely there. Sorry. The Longman and Eagle chef, the founding chef of Longman and Eagle, is taking over that restaurant property, revamping the menu, renaming it Trench instead of Trencherman. So a little shorter there. And, it's going to open pretty early in 2017. So we're excited to see what he does with that.
Okay. What else are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Ruxpin's new look as well. So Ruxpin has been one of those restaurants whose design, the decor of it, has been honored in a lot of national magazines. It's gotten a lot of press for just how it looks inside, the funky design touches, like when you go into the bathroom, you have to go through a dark room stall, and it twists and turns you in the dark, and then you're in the bathroom. And, their booths were made out of old church pews and a lot of really quirky touches. But, I was talking to the chef about it, and his take on it is that in the 6 years they've been open, they've evolved their menu so much, they've changed their food, and they feel like they need to change their decor along with that as well. They feel like they've gotten a little more serious in their food, and they want a new look. So they're scrapping all that quirky stuff and redoing it, and it's going to be, the renderings look beautiful. I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, I don't think, if you're trying to get to the restroom, probably a dark hall and quirky twists and turns are probably not what you need when you're in a hurry, I'm just going to say.
I'm going to guess that's
leaving
true.
It a little delicately. It's the lunch hour, after all. 12:44, I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. I want to talk about Phil Vitale's top restaurants of 2016. Some of the ones that have been on the top of the list remain there. Marissa Conrad's food and drink editor with the Chicago Tribune. 12:47, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Tomorrow morning, Steve Cochran is back. We'll be with him at 8:10 in the morning for our daily entertainment segment, as always. Be on the WGN-TV morning news, as always, tomorrow morning as well. Looking back on the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus, the history of it all. Announced that they are closing right now. Marissa Conrad, food and drink editor with the Chicago Tribune, talking about the top trends in dining in Chicago. Phil Vitale's top restaurants of the year. I noticed, Marissa, very much like his, past top restaurants of the year. He's gone back to some real favorites, as he always has.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there are just some chefs in Chicago that kill it every year, and we like to give them their shout out at the end of the year. A lot of new restaurants in there too, though, so it's a good mix. This year we actually had the whole food and dining staff pitch in, and we picked them about the top 30 dishes and drinks that we all enjoyed this year. And you can find that at chicagotribune.com/bestfood2016.
Okay.
For the whole list, but we can talk about some highlights.
I would like to talk about the highlights. Well, let's talk about the top of the list in which he picks Grace as the top restaurant of the year, or your committee, or your editors picking Grace as the top restaurant of the year.
Yeah, well, Curtis Duffy, who way back when was the chef at Avenues in the Peninsula Hotel, and he went on to open Grace in the West Loop, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful restaurant. Definitely special occasion. It can get pretty pricey, but from the moment you walk in to the moment you finish your meal, you feel so well taken care of. And he just puts out food that looks as beautiful as it tastes. It's one of those tasting menus, so he just takes care of it. You don't have to worry about ordering. You just get presented with a series of dishes, and he's an artist.
Yeah, and Rick Bayless is not Frontera Grill, but his fine dining restaurant that's right next door, Topolobampo, also at the top of the list at number two.
Yeah, so Topolobampo obviously also been a staple of Chicago dining for many years, and Rick Bayless continues to stay on the scene. He opened a couple new places this year, but Topolobampo continues to be one of our favorites at the Tribune. Again, it's one of those places that you go in and you can let them take care of you with a tasting menu if you want that option. And they've been doing a few fun menus over the course of the last year. They did one where it was all themed around art. So you'd look at a piece of art, and then the dish you'd be getting would relate to that art in some way.
Yeah, Oriole is in the top five. Blackbird, also in the West Loop. What you were saying about the West Loop becoming even more vital. Blackbird actually was one of the first in the West Loop.
It was Blackbird and Avec right there.
Among the very first in that area. I think they may have even been there before Oprah was over there in the West Loop, or at least right around the time Oprah moved her headquarters there. Momotaro also in there. But all of those restaurants, pretty high-priced restaurants. I mean, they're great. They're special event, you know, experiences. They're expense account restaurants, whatever you want to call them. But for you know, it's kind of a budget price, you know, more reasonably priced restaurant, what would you say are a couple of, you know, really great ones that won't break the bank?
Well, actually, one of the biggest trends of 2016 was poke, which is, I think of it as like deconstructed sushi. It's a bowl that you get, and it has the sushi rice and the sushi-grade fish and the seaweed and whatever kind of toppings that you want that might go in your sushi roll, but instead it's all mixed up in a bowl. And it's actually very traditional Hawaiian food that kind of made its way over to LA. And now in 2016, just really hit Chicago. And there's Aloha Poke is a great one, and Firefin Poke. And they, you know, you can go enjoy a poke bowl there for $10, and it is an amazing lunch or dinner.
That's a pretty good bargain for $10. You can't beat that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
A pizzeria that we really loved that opened this year, Pauly G's in Logan Square. Uh-huh. It's actually originally in Brooklyn, and they decided to expand to just a couple other cities this year. So they opened one in Chicago and one in Miami, I believe. And the pizza is amazing. They do some traditional pies, and then they do some quirkier pizzas, you know, maybe with kimchi and flavors like that. And they do a Detroit-style pizza, which is like a rectangular, kind of thick, puffy pie with this crust that, you got to get over
is
there.
Is that like a deep dish pizza?
You know, it's somewhere between, it's not as deep as a deep dish. You know, anyone from the Detroit area is going to get excited and know exactly what we're talking about. But it's between a thin crust and a deep dish, and it comes in a rectangle and it's square cut.
Okay. All right. I'm curious to try that. I'm always up for trying new pizzas and then, you know, completely bringing my Chicago bias and hating it.
Are you a deep dish guy?
I'm actually a thin crust guy. I enjoy deep dish. I you know, enjoy Lou Malnati's of the deep dishes. That's my favorite. But you know, I'm from the Chicago neighborhoods, and you know, grew up on Chicago thin crust. So
like the cracker crust.
Yeah, sort of. I guess you might say. I like, you know, thinner, more Neapolitan style. I guess, you know, if I were to have to put it into a trendy category, but. Believe me, some of the pizza places I grew up on are anything but, you know, trendy, but pretty darn delicious. What about, does a restaurant, like a, you know, long-standing Chicago neighborhood restaurant that serves amazing food at reasonable prices, do they have any chance whatsoever of ever making these, you know, top restaurants of Chicago lists? These ones that have been open 30, 40 years, they don't serve deconstructed anything. You know, they just, you know, deliver a relish tray, you know what I mean? Like good old fashioned, just stick to your ribs kind of food.
Of course. I mean, on our top 30 dishes of the year this year, one was a hot dog at Budaki's Drive-In, you know, which is up, you know, in the 4700 block of Damon Avenue. It's been there forever. It's a drive-in that sells Chicago dogs and fries, and you know, it's delicious, and we wanted to highlight that this year and make sure people, you know, are continuing to find the old gems as well as the hot new places.
Right, because, you know, I would love to see like a Tofano's, you know, make its way onto a list like that. You know, there are these great Chicago restaurants that serve absolutely delicious, amazing food. Not really what you call trendy, not really what you call fancy, but, you know, guaranteed a fantastic meal every time you go there. A place like Sabatino's, which is another one of my favorite haunts up on the northwest side of Chicago. You know, great food,
yes. Well,
great food, but
Sabatino's.
You know, they're not the fancy schmancy places that always seem to make these lists.
Yeah, but you know, we highlight them in other ways. We actually talked to the owner at Sabatino's and did a fun video where they did one of their flaming dishes on film for us. So you can always find that kind of coverage when you're coming to our site, and we love those kind of restaurants.
Yeah, yeah, they're really. I mean, that's really part. A vital part of the Chicago dining scene, places like Tofano's, Sabatino's, you know, go down the list. Those are among my favorites. I was just at Sabatino's recently also, and they were making a baked Alaska right behind me. Good luck finding a restaurant that makes flaming baked Alaska any place.
It's true. It's a lost art.
It's delightful. It's like such a cool throwback thing. And the food, you know, the food there generally is amazing, but I like those little old-school things that they throw in there as well.
I don't know if you've been out to Evanston lately, but one of the restaurants that Phil just reviewed, so, you know, it's a new for 2017 review, so maybe it'll make some best-of lists in the coming year, but it's called The Barn, and it's Amy Morton, who's part of the Morton family,
sure,
who founded Morton's, and you know, she's doing some of that throwback stuff there. It's salads prepared tableside and really classic martinis.
Love it.
Great space.
Love it. Love it. I have to get over there and give that a try. Always great information. The food and drink section of the Chicago Tribune. Marissa Conrad is the food and drink editor. And Marissa, I hope you have a great Sunday today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.